Hi, I'm Denny.
Hi,
everybody. You know, I'm not sure which story is going to come out tonight because since a month I've been practicing every day. That story I told last Tuesday, was the best one I've had in this. So we'll see what happens. But, this program, I've been in AA 37 years in December. So I've been around a while, and thank you. But this program came to me in 1983. I went to my first meeting in 1983. And I was in a marriage, and the marriage ended, and got into another relationship. And we were together about 3 years. And I was sober at that time, the first sober relationship. Mm-hmm. And when that relationship ended, it's like I got triggered, and I was holding on to everything. And it all started coming out, and it was very ugly. I started having like a lot of nightmares, flashbacks, and such like that. And as I moved from Southern California up to Northern California, and I ran into a man up there, and he was a really good guy. And I was telling him, I said, I'm having all this trouble and such like that. He goes, what do you think you should do? And I said, well, I think I should go to this ACA program. And a woman in Laguna Beach, where I was before, she had given me a book by Claudia Black. And I read Claudia's book, and I related to it all. I called her office and wanted to get an appointment, and she never called me back. So I never read any more of her literature. But that's it. She didn't call me back. But anyway, I went to my first ACA meeting, and the only meeting was in San Francisco. And they told me it was. So I went to the Castro district of San Francisco, and I'd never been to the Castro before. I'd only been in town about a month or so. And the meeting started, and this young lady, she had boots on and denim jacket, and she had tattoos and piercings and everything else. As soon as the meeting started and she opened up for sharing, she jumped up, she got up on top of the table, and she started screaming and jumping up and down, pounding, how would she, because I hate my fucking parents, da da da. God, I'm home, you know, this is great. I am really home, you know. So, My second meeting was in San Francisco, and my third meeting was in Marin County. And Marin County was a little bit more quiet than that, but the point was there, you know. So it was, I'm really grateful for what happened, you know, like what it started up. But my story is not pretty. I come from one of those ones that this book was really written for. And I was born in Santa Monica on the beach. And initially, it was great. You know, like I had buddies, and my mother used to take us down to the beach in front of the Jonathan Club, and I could run, and I could take off. She threw me in the ocean when I was a baby, and I just started swimming. And then we moved to the San Fernando Valley, and things changed dramatically. You know, between them, and I didn't know what was going on and such like that. And I was just I was a healthy little boy. And I love nature. I love being outdoors. And I was out playing one day with a buddy of mine. And I met him. He lived across the street. And I was about 4 or 5 years old. And we were riding bikes together. And we were out in Tarzana, California. And we got out in this area where it was all wooded and stuff like that. And so being boys the way we were at that point, we took off our clothes, and we were running around, and we were peeing in the wind, and having a good time with the trees and the bushes and everything else, and we got arrested. And we got taken to jail. And they put us in this room, whenever you've seen those rooms, and I've never been inside one of those rooms, but other than that day. But I got this message. I mean, the punishment that came from that incident was overwhelming to me, that my masculine energy was not any good. It's like I got really hammered for it. And on the Sunday, this is kind of like, it's the beginning of the war that I ended up having to fight in my family. On the Sunday, I was home Thursday afternoon. On the Sunday, I got the courage to go out into the kitchen and ask my mother for food. You know, she left me abandoned for like 4 days. My brother, my family, my father. Nobody talked to me, and they just left me there like, what did I do wrong, you know? I didn't feel like I'd done anything wrong, but apparently, and there was a lot of talk about homosexuality and sexuality and all this weird shit. And I was 4 or 5 years old. I had no idea what the hell they were talking about, you know. And there was a lot of concern about who I was. I was a gentle kid. I wanted to play baseball. They wanted me to play football. I loved art. I loved music. I loved color. They didn't want me to have anything to do with any of that stuff. So they really controlled everything I did, and they tried. My psyche was just, you know, going kind of haywire. And my father started beating me right after that. He used to take me in and out behind the garage where I had my my duck and my turtle, and he'd take me and he'd throw me up against the garage. And it was stucco, and the skin would come off my body. And I'd look at him and I'd go, you know, what did I do? You know, what did I do wrong? And he'd look at me and go, nothing. He goes, this is what's going to happen to you if you do anything wrong. You know, so it was like the psyche, I was going crazy. And the insanity that they describe in this book started really, you know, early. So I started running away from home at 5 years old. I knew that if I could get on a bus in the valley and get into Los Angeles, and then get on a bus and get down to down Wilshire Boulevard, I could get back to my grandfather who lived in Santa Monica. My grandfather helped build the Santa Monica Pier, so my roots were at the ocean and such like that. I just heard it's a great story. It's a terrible story, but it's a great ending. A little boy named Marcus, a little black boy, 5 months old. Little Marcus he's now 10, and he's doing great. He was adopted by a blended family, and he's doing really, really well. But little Marcus, at 5 years old, they had to take him out of his house, and they put him into a foster family. And the foster family said when they got Marcus, it's like his neck, he had been beaten so much and shaken so much and such, his neck didn't have any strength in it. So little Marcus had taken, and he took his hands, and he put his hands up like this, and he was like Muhammad Ali at the rope-a-dope fight, you know, such like that. But they said the big thing about little Marcus was that when they approached him, he growled at you. 5 months old, and the boy's growling at you, you know. And so I can relate to that little boy. I've got a little Marcus inside of me. You know, he was a great kid. I couldn't hold pencils. I used to get you know, beaten so much that I armored myself up, and it just never stopped. It just kept coming and coming and coming. So I tried to figure out a way to get them to somehow leave me alone. And my mother, when she was sober, was extremely critical of me and harsh and just a hardcore gal. And yet when she was drunk, I would buddy up to her at the dinner table, especially after dinner. And she'd been drinking a lot. And I was beautiful then. I had beautiful blonde hair, I was beautiful skin, I had beautiful blue eyes. And so I got really sexualized by her really early, that I was I don't know, what do you call it? It happened. With my dad, I ended up getting triangulated into their fight. My father made me his bartender, and so I bartended for him for a lot of every night. And what would happen is I'd go in and get his glass, he'd yell at me, I'd have to come out, I'd go in and get the glass, I'd have to fight with my mother, because he didn't want to fight, so I was fighting with my mother for him. Then I'd come back, and if the drink wasn't right, then I'd have to go back in. And then I'd have to go in and study and try to go to school. And my mind, you know, I ended up with what they call PTSD, obviously, as a kid. And I didn't know what it was, they told me I was crazy. And I couldn't excel. I wanted to really learn. I wanted to do well in school. I wanted to have friends, and none of that happened. You know, like I just kind of was like this odd kid out. And so I just kind of took it on myself to. My survival methods kicked in, and I went to work. Really, you know, like I started working at jobs, and I ended up making money, and money became like a salvation for me. And so where do I go from here? it started off really bad. And how did it get better? You know, like I got through stuff. I survived stuff is what I did. And I went through 4 years of all boys Catholic high school. I hated every second of it. And I announced when I graduated from the eighth grade that I was going to go to public school. I was going to make my own decisions. I wanted to go there and work with my hands and shop. And there was going to be girls there, and I wanted to be with girls. I wanted to be around shop. And they were going to put me in a seminary and stuff. So I ended up in this all boys Catholic high school. So that's when I just ended up with three jobs and such like that. And a couple days right after high school, I took off. I was in Europe. I was gone. I went and spent 3.5 months in Europe. And that was a liberation for me. But my main attraction that I wanted to go to was in Munich. I went to Dachau. I went to the concentration camp. And at the concentration camp in Dachau, I was 17 years old. And I just sat on the ground and I could just feel the energy in that place. And I knew that I was home. You know, I was with those people. I knew what they were feeling, you know, like, and that's the kind of like background that I came from and stuff. So I came out of there and I came home and I ended up joining the military. It was a time the war was going on, and I thought I could evade. I didn't want to go in the Army. I didn't want to go in the Marine Corps. I knew I wasn't going to look good in green, but I knew I was going to look good. I knew I could wear denim really well. So I joined the Navy and thought I'd travel the world and you know, do the things I wanted to do. I really enjoyed traveling. Europe was great and such. And I ended up going to Vietnam, and I rode riverboats in Vietnam. I was in what they call the Brown Water Navy. And that got nasty right away. And so I could tell you a lot of stories about that, but that would take about, the rest of my life. I've been in therapy for 17 years talking about Vietnam with one woman. She's my therapist here in town. And I love her very much. She loves me very much. And it's like that's the impact of, you know, like that's why this thing is so important and such like that. So when Larry was reading the thing about trauma and such, you know, I don't want to be a bummer, but trauma is they say that all children of alcoholics or adult children come from PTSD. And I can tell you from my heart that you can get better. You can get over it. You know, I'm not done with it, but every day I get better. Every day I get better. And I owe it to this book. I love the book. You know, like when I was in, when I left San Francisco, there was a situation that happened. We didn't have any book. We had ACA meetings, and we had a big meeting up in Sonoma County that we went to, and everybody was together, and we used to go out to dinner on Saturday nights, and so we'd go to the meeting first and go to the movies, go to dinner and stuff. It was really a lot of fun, and everybody was getting along. And then in the city, there was this a case of a young woman and a male therapist. They came out with this thing that she had been molested by her father, and this whole thing called repressed memory syndrome came out. And the whole of San Francisco just got shattered. It was just like, whoa, what happened here, you know? And then I went back, and then I moved back to San Diego. And I was in San Diego, and I was living up in North County. And I didn't go to meetings in San Diego, but some friends that did, and they told me about a situation where three young women they were going to college at San Diego State. And I don't know if they knew each other, I don't know anything about the details of it, but these three girls committed suicide, and they were dancing at these adult nightclubs and such like that. And so the trauma of this disease, you know, it's like the big thing that I've learned about PTSD is that your story needs to be told. It needs to be told, it needs to be told, and it needs to be felt. And I grew up believing, to the bottom of my heart, believe me, that if I didn't feel anything, I was successful. That's how I lived. You know, like my mantra inside me was, don't you feel it? And my kid kept on saying, I want to talk to you. And I'd go, fuck you, get away from me. You know, just stay away from me. And so I had this real split personality that I was going on. I had the kids screaming at me. And I had this man, masculine man that I wasn't too proud of. I was him. I became him. And I thought I knew I wasn't doing the best I could do. But I did really well in the world. You know, I came back from Vietnam, and I did really well in Vietnam. I survived Vietnam. I was teaching like a week. Those kids that I got to Vietnam with that had been shooting rabbits and, you know, game all their lives. They had guns in their hands, but they didn't know how to survive. So everything I took from my family, I took the country. I was there immediately, and it was like, and I became like all the white people are going, who's this white guy? I mean, he was, what the hell's going on? You know, and it's like, and it was really, I became really nasty. It's like the war requires that you, to survive it, that you become nasty, and that's what happened in my childhood too. I fought with my family, I fought with my brother, I fought with my dad, and I fought with my mother, you know, so. I got into the corporate world when I came back from Vietnam, and I became very successful. I did very well. It was natural, second nature to me to be able to go to work in the corporate world and all the backstabbing and nasty shit that went on in that world. And I did very well in it. And eventually, I hit 30 years old, and I was insane. And the book talks about insanity here. I could probably get up here and just read this book. That's what I should be doing. But I was making notes and such. But the thing that I didn't know how to do. I thought I didn't know how to love. I really didn't think I knew how to love. And when I was in the fourth grade, we switched schools, and I went to a new school, and I got this. This woman, her name was Mrs. McAvity, and Mrs. Mack was, after the week, she said, okay, stay after school next week. She said, I'm going to tutor you and help you, you know, come up to speed and such like that. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, she tutored me. Thursday, I started to come up to her desk, and she said, no, we're done with the tutoring. She goes, come up here, and she goes, Denny, she goes, listen, you'll be fine. You're going to do well, read and do all this stuff. She goes, but there is something I think you need, you know, and she goes, do you mind if I touch you, you know? And I looked at her, and, you know, being a good little Catholic boy, I said, no, you can do anything you want. And she gave me a hug. And I went, Jesus, you know. And so I walked home that night, and I remember walking across the basketball courts, and I didn't know what that hug was about. I didn't have any idea. And I found out later it was affection. You know, I didn't know what affection was. And I had one of those pedophile priests come after me. And thank God, he didn't get me, thank God, you know, like in the cat. So I didn't have anything to do with God, and I didn't have anything to do with, I didn't like authority, and I didn't like anybody. And I survived with the skills that I developed, you know, and I ended up hating a lot of people, and I didn't know that inside of my psyche, but that's what was going on. And it kept me... I realized it kept me in the masculine world that I was in. I had to be big. I became big. I had to be bigger than everybody. And I just got as big as I possibly could. And I would scare you if I had to. And I was scared to death inside. That was the thing about it, the dichotomy, is I had this adult who was just, you know, I could walk into a room. And if I didn't like you, I'd let you know immediately. Just because, but that's how scared I was. It's like it wasn't healthy. I wasn't healthy, but I was staying alive, and that's what I could do. And then in my relationship with women, because of the thing that happened, it's like this whole thing called intimacy and excitement. That's what I'm dealing with right now. Is I've just recently, the book kind of just, here you go, Denny, deal with this. And I started tripping on this thing called excitement, this negative excitement thing. And I go, how did you get addicted to excitement? You know, what is this all about? You know, and I realized that to feel alive, I became a therapist. I went back to school in my 40s here in town, and I became a trauma therapist right down the street here at Calm. And I was the first man to have a trauma group for women. Adults molested as children, and the women and I loved each other. They'd come in, they found out that I was a Vietnam vet, they trusted me, and we'd sit down, and 7 to 10 of us, and I had a partner therapist in the room, and this group was just incredible, and these women allowed me into their psyches, you know, that was like, I want Jesus. And then I worked with domestic violence, of course, with kids, and I just loved the kids. And so it's been this thing of trying to figure out how to love myself. The book talks about that. How to get out of the pain and you know, for me now it's like kind of like how to be intimate with people. You know, how to trust people, how to be close to people, And I'm just learning that right now. I'm writing a book right now. There's some really great things going on in my life right now. I'm learning how to ride horses. I'm writing a book. I just bought a piano. They wouldn't let me have a piano when I was a kid, so I said, fuck you, I went out and bought a piano a couple weeks ago. And I took one lesson, and what else? Oh, and I got damaged by Agent Orange in Vietnam. I got an imbalance problem. My body goes this way. Sometimes I can get down the street this way, but most of the time I walk this way. And so I can't stand up on a surfboard, and I surfed before I went to the military. I just got back from Costa Rica. I go to the jungle every now and then, and I've been to a number of jungles since I came back, but I love the jungle. And I was in Costa Rica, and I was helping all these kids surf, you know, these Europeans. And it was, and so I was really pissed off at God. I said, you know, son of a gun, I can't surf. And then I found, when I got home, there was an article about adaptive surfboards where you can buy a board, you can sit on it. So I go down to San Onofre now, and I work, and I'm being taught how to surf by kids that are paralyzed from the waist down. It's just amazing. You know, just, and these kids are just, talk about energy. Jesus, you know. I got the number three kid in the world. You know, I had a young lady from the Netherlands. She was a filmmaker. She was hurt on a film. And I carried her into the water a couple weeks ago, and they were making a movie about her. The first time she'd been back in the water. So it's like, you know, like there's some really positive things that come out of the healing and such. So I don't know anything about time. You're going to have to let me about time. You have to holler at me.
Good.
Am I doing okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
10 more minutes.
How much?
10 if you'd like.
Okay, thank you. So there's a lot of powerful things going on. I'm going to talk about post-traumatic stress disorder. I've mentioned Vietnam. I apologize if I've offended anybody. But this book, I'm so proud of this book. They talk about Vietnam. On page 81, I think it is, there's a chapter called How It Works. And we all know in AA, How It Works is the most famous chapter, I guess. I read it at every meeting and such. But when not the first time maybe, but yes, I think it was the first time I read that, How It Works. We got to the page 83, and there was a section called Feeling Your Feelings. And they quoted a Vietnam veteran therapist, and he talked about how veterans were afraid of feeling their feelings, and because once they opened up, they might grieve and they might cry and they were never going to stop and blah, 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 blah. So I was reading this thing, and I saw these little footnotes, number one, number two. And so curiosity, I kept on following all the way down to the bottom of the page, and I found nirvana. I found the pot of gold. The pot of gold for recovery, as far as I'm concerned in this book, is at the footnote at number two at the bottom of page 83. And it says that post-traumatic stress disorder is the tension of unresolved grief following the fundamental loss of security. And that's what when I heard, you know, the first of all I related to was the loss of security. I had no security as a kid. Of course, there was no security in the military. I tried to fabricate security with relationships and with money and power. I mean, I was at one point I had all this real estate stuff in San Diego. I was just like, it was insane. You know, I go, God, how the hell did little Danny Matheson get here? You know, but when I read that definition of PTSD, and I just found myself at home. You know, really, like, this is my home. It's like this book right here has got more wisdom in it about recovering from trauma than anything I've ever come across. And the thing that I wasn't doing very well when I first read that was I wasn't feeling still. You know, like I was feeling, but I wasn't feeling it the way I got to feel it to get well. And what I've been able to do lately, and what's happened to me, what happens to happen for me and such, is I've been able to feel the tension. And goddamn, there's a lot of tension inside there. In my body, my soul, my mind, my spirit, everything has been traumatized by this disease. And I think alcoholism is just violent. That's all it is. There's no way of getting around it. It's just the most violent thing in the world. And, you know, let's go have a drink. Ooh, okay. But it's still pretty violent. It's a very violent thing. But so I've been able to feel the tension, and I've been able to grieve. You know, like I was sitting in front of the television set a couple months ago, and I just went, okay, if we don't eat and watch TV right now. What are we going to do? And so I turned off the TV, I pushed away the food, and I started crying. And I sat in my house and cried for a whole day. And it was like, oh my God, this is what they're talking about. You know, this is what the sobbing is like. And it kept started coming. So for a couple of months, I cried, I've been grieving, you know, just coming up and coming up and coming up. And then all of a sudden, I started, you know, I wanted to buy a piano, and all of a sudden, I wanted to buy a surfboard, and all of a sudden, I wanted to live. You know, it's like, hey, wait a minute, son of a bitch, I can do this, you know. And I didn't know I could do it because I had so much grief and so much pain inside of me. And this book and the friends that I've met in this room, these rooms, have brought me to a place, and I truly am grateful for that. That's given me the strength to do some of this work, you know. Like, and it's work. It's not the easiest. The first time I did a fifth step in AA, after the trauma, after the relationship broke up, I was in San Francisco. It was before my first ACA meeting. And this is not a put down on AA. I love AA. I did a fifth step. I put together this volume of writing and such. And when I got to this man's house to give it away, I just started shaking. You know, like I just started shaking. And I scared him. And I just looked at him. And I said, I just hate everybody. And it was so emotional for me. I couldn't do anything else. That was it. It was over. You know. And that was my first fifth step about trauma. You know, like it was just, it came out of me and just like, and he looked at me and he goes, boy, he goes, you really are an asshole, you know. And I went, well, there's something wrong here with this, you know, AA didn't really have what I needed as far as the AA, my trauma recovery. So that's when I started ACA, which back in, this was like 1983, 1984. So it's like, but like I say, the transition has been that what's different for me now is the last 27 months, I went to CODA for years and tried to get well. Didn't work. I tried a lot of different things to try to get there. I had God bless my therapist at the VA. She kept me alive for a lot of years. But this book here is allowing me to learn how to live. And I'm going to live big. I like living big. I've lived big my whole life, but I'm living big in a healthy way today. You know, it's like I can be amongst, you know, kids. They're paralyzed, and this one little girl said to me, she goes, you really don't look all that bad. Yeah. I said, well, thank you very much. She goes, yeah. And she's paralyzed from the waist down. You know, she goes, you know, from where I'm at, Dennis, she goes, you're doing fine. I said, well, thank you. You know, and I said, but I can't stand up. I walk this way. You know, she goes, that's okay. You know, but so there's a lot of fun happening. There's a lot of people in my life today that. I have a lot of people in my life, but I'm really not that close to a lot of people yet. I have a man who's, when I came back from the military, the first thing I did was I scored like this 10 tabs of mescaline. And this mescaline was, the Carlos Castaneda thing was going on. And this mescaline just took me to heaven. And I never could find any more after I've used that up. But I have a man now. He lives in Ecuador. He's 81 years old, and he's kind of like my Carlos Castaneda now. And I call him every day, 5 days a week. I call him, and we talk. And he goes, Dennis. He goes, your mind is full of ants. And I went, Jesus, what are you saying? He goes, I swear to God, Dennis. He goes, I've never met anybody with as many ants in their mind as you do. And I said, what are ants? You know, he goes, automatic negative thoughts. He goes, you go to the negative that quick, Dennis. You know, so every day for the last 6 months, he's been. We do not end a conversation without me having to reframe what I've been talking about into a positive. You know that I'm not there yet, but I'm getting there. I'm a loving person, and I'll, you know, there's more love in front of me, and things of that nature. You know, but the affirmations, even this book has affirmations in it. You know, so these people are really, really wise. That wrote this book. There's a whole lot I've left out. I don't know what the hell to say. I there's a bunch of things I wanted to read and such. And the one thing I will, I one thing, one thing I'm dealing with right now too, and I'll finish. I'll be done. There's a section. There's a part in this book that I just discovered that talks about how the child and the adult aren't getting along. It's like it's not happening, you know what I mean? It's like in my child and my adult, weren't getting along at all very well. And how do I do this? And I finally was able to sit down and kind of as a referee and talk, you know, and talk to the kid. And the kid inside, I just finally was able to say to the kid, and this is where the insanity, God, I wish I should read this, but I don't know where it is. But it talks about how I was able, and this is my experience, I was able one day to say to the kid, okay, it's not your fault. None of this was your fault. Absolutely none of it. But I still had the shame, and I still had the guilt from the military. And so one day I was down at Port Hueneme Naval Base. I go down to the Navy base, and I'd finished my shopping, and I had everything in my car, and I was sitting in my car, I was getting ready to start my car, and all of a sudden these kids came out of the commissary. And it was 12 of them, and it was a Navy SEAL team, and they were walking towards me. And they were these kids, they shower together, they sleep together, they eat together, they do everything together, and they're absolutely beautiful. The most beautiful group of kids I've ever seen in my life. I love the kids. I've had the pleasure of talking to a lot of kids from Afghanistan and Iraq. And these kids were, I was looking at these kids, and it's kind of like all of a sudden I saw something in them that was me. And it was like I went, oh, son of a gun. You know, I said, I didn't really ever realize that in part of my conquest, my journey, I had really actually become an elite, and I use the word loosely, warrior type thing. Mm-hmm. It's like I had to own, it's like for me to find balance, I had to love both the child and what I'd become. Mm-hmm. And they both weren't negative. It's like I didn't want to be both, I didn't want to be the child, and I didn't want to be a warrior anymore. But for me to get to the middle, that's what happened. And it happened as a result of this book, and the steps and such, and talking to people and going to meetings and such like that. I do all that stuff. And so I found kind of like my balance, you know, which I never had before. Like, oh, there's a person here that can really come out and live, you know, be. And I called a good friend of mine that I was in Vietnam with, and as soon as I told him, he started crying. He goes, Denny, he goes, I've always wanted to, you know, be acknowledged that way. He goes, because that's really what we were, you know. So I've seen the dark side. I've lived it. I prefer being over here. And how I got here, it wasn't my fault that I started out so badly. I don't know where the hell, you know, blame comes in, or forgiveness and such like that. But I've been able to do those things. And it's been a journey. It's been a hell of a lot of fun. It's been painful. A lot of alone time. I've had to cry a lot alone. And I've had to write a lot. And I've talked to a lot of people. But, you know, for the most part, I don't know. Do I have any regrets and such like that? Yeah, there's some. There's some. You know, when I came back from the military, I adopted a couple of kids. My wife and her kids. And I adopted them and stuff. And I was, one of the greatest things that ever happened to me was being a dad, you know, raising those kids. But I messed it up. This whole thing got messed up. I haven't seen them in like over 30 years. So, you know, there's a lot of things. I miss the kids. I loved them. And there's a lot of things that probably I would have liked to, you know, have gone better. But the thing about it is I know that tonight, maybe tomorrow, I know that it's going to be better. And I'm positive of that. So, I guess that's it. Did I say anything? I hope so. Thank you.